Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Most of you know, if not all of you, that every Wednesday during term time, I spend at Bristol Baptist College, where about 20 to 30 students are training for ministry. And they didn't do this in my day, thank goodness, but they do it today, that the students decide on the dress code on the last day of term for Christmas. And this year it was angels. So I can assure you that I was dressed up with wings, covered in feathers. It's been an advent of angels. I've preached on the angel messages to Zechariah, to Mary, and then to the shepherds. And we hear again that Christmas message of the angels tonight. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It is all about the fulfillment of Israel's hopes. It's why we sang in our carol at the beginning of the service, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The angel uses the language of covenant in announcing the birth of Jesus. And Israel was well used to this. They had known it from the time they were on the borders of the promised land, as described in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses preached back to them there their recent history. He does so in the form of an ancient covenant. It was like this. A great king would make a covenant with a weaker group of people. The powerful king would bless the weaker party or nation by delivering them or protecting them in some way. And in return, those he had saved would promise obedience to him in certain ways prescribed in that covenant. So on the borders of the promised land, the covenant recalls that God, the great king, has promised a miraculous deliverance for the children of Israel from Egypt. And now in return for his salvation, he asks them to follow his laws. It's similar here. The baby is called the Messiah. He is to be the great king who will deliver Israel, and hence he is also Savior. And Israel was looking out for, waiting for such a figure. They had recounted over and over how their nation had been exiled in Babylon, but even after returning to their own land, they had been invaded by Greece and now by Rome. They were like exiles in their own land. And of course, we know that the Messiah who was born, Jesus, would save his people in a different way from what the people then expected. Deliverance from their sins was not to mean an army raised up against the Romans, but a Savior nailed to a Roman cross. Also, the Messiah's coming to bring salvation is not just for the Jews. It is good news that will bring great joy for all people, which begins with the people of God and will extend to the whole world. The basic truth is clear. The long-awaited Messiah has finally come, and he is bringing salvation. He is our rescue, and that is what we celebrate this night. Christmas makes complete sense with Easter. The one who came in poverty and weakness, wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, will die in poverty and weakness, hanging on a cross, while soldiers gamble for his clothes. But in doing so, He will absorb all the darkness. Everything that is thrown at him that is evil, he will conquer it. The first half of the covenant is clear. God's king will save his people. But what of the second half? The king saves a helpless people. What does he demand in return? Again, it is clear in the angel's announcement. A saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Just as God saved his people from Egypt and then called them to obey his law, so now Jesus the Messiah comes. He will save his people, and in response he calls them to recognize who he truly is, our Lord and Saviour. In other words, salvation, our rescue, is freely given. It is God in Jesus' own initiative. It is not of our doing. But while the gift is free, the appropriate response costs us everything. As Lord, he has the right to direct our ways. What is more, in the life of the Messiah, he shows us that explicitly himself. He does not demand of us what he does not demand of himself. However, it was costly. In a world ruled by Romans, to call someone Lord is to imply that the person who usually claimed the title of Lord is not. And Caesar claimed to be Lord. To enter into covenant with God's Messiah involves declaring that Jesus is Lord and the powers of the world are not. Jesus claims our ultimate allegiance, not the world. Some Christians think that Christmas is just the prelude to the real message, that of Easter. But really, they are of one piece. Both announce that the King has come. He is proclaimed at Christmas and enthroned at Easter on a cross. Christmas proclaims Jesus as the Saviour, and Easter delivers on that announcement. Christmas also says that the Saviour is the Lord, and Easter says he is declared as Lord in the resurrection. At Christmas, then, we see that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's covenant with his people. He is the King who comes to save his people. He is the Lord who calls all to receive his rescue, to follow him as their master. This Christmas, may we come to worship the baby, the King, who was given for our rescue, and who commands not our turkey or tinsel, but our whole allegiance. Amen. Let's just have a moment of quiet.